Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you for the special 9/11 WBAI Fun Drive. Today we have Ralph Schoenman and Ralph Pointer at the WBAI studio while I'm here in California. The program today is an incredible lecture that Ralph Schoenman and I shared the platform with Frank Morales. And it's a two CD set, which we're offering for $75 contribution to WBAI. The event was 9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state. Is martial law on the agenda? An appropriate subject for today, given the breaking news of the past 2 weeks. Ralph?
Well, Maya, I want to emphasize that it's only on the 10th of September that Barack Obama extended the state of emergency that George Bush imposed at the time of 9/11, a state of emergency that allows all arbitrary power to the executive and to the head of state. Obama is not merely extending it, but virtually making it a part of perpetuity, as the war on terror, he declares, is only just unfolding. And that is the real context, because everything that goes by way of that false flag operation that occurred on 9/11, the war on terror, which is a war on the American people, a war on peoples of the world, demonizing those who resist, categorizing them as terrorists, is unfolding as we speak.
And Ralph, to talk about the repressive apparatus of the state, recently also on September 8th, the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the Obama administration's efforts to advance a very sweeping view of executive secrecy powers, the very view supported by the Bush administration and that Obama had criticized when he was running for president. And yet, here, the Obama administration supported these incredible secrecy powers, and the Ninth Circuit, a change, a real shift in the Ninth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit ruled that former prisoners of the CIA, those who were subject to extraordinary rendition and were tortured in overseas prisons, that they couldn't have a lawsuit because that lawsuit might expose what the government calls secret information. It was a 6-5 vote. We're going to discuss this more. And also for a brief update about Lynn Stewart, we have Ralph Pointer in the studio. First, I want to remind everyone to call 212-208-2950. Your contribution, $75, which includes your membership to WBAI for this incredible, powerfully fast-paced two CD set, 9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state is martial law on the agenda. We're going to play three excerpts today and ask you to call in between. Don't wait for the last few minutes.
Maya,
on the phone now.
Maya, would you get that 212-209?
Oh, 209.
2595.
Oh, once again, I goofed.
No,
212-209-2950. Thanks for the correction, Ralph.
Well, you know, I want to just make a quick clarification, brothers and sisters. Clarification is perhaps the wrong word. This is an extraordinary day on which we are broadcasting, pointing up the implications of 9/11 for martial law in the United States. It was disclosed today in the Memphis News Messenger that the renowned civil rights photographer Ernest C. Weathers has been unmasked as an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who was the constant companion of Martin Luther King, who was the person who choreographed and described the Emmett Till murder and the trial that followed. Every moment he was in the company of Martin Luther King, including at the Lorraine Hotel, not only was he spying for the FBI, but he's reporting on every move that was made. They coordinated with the FBI reports on Martin Luther King's plans for movement, where he was at a given moment, how to entrap him, how to do this. Full disclosure, extraordinary revelations in the newspaper, the Memphis Messenger Appeal. And it's highlighted.
Commercial appeal, Ralph.
Commercial appeal, I'm sorry.
You can read the entire article at www.commercialappeal.com.
And we're going to do a full program on this, and I want to, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Today, in Memphis, on radio station PLX, the son of the surgical aide at the hospital, St. Joseph Hospital, when Ella Mae Shelby, her son Jonathan Shelby, disclosed and acknowledged that his mother was present when the chief of police came into the hospital and said, "Don't treat the nigger, let him die," followed by a bevy of Army personnel, high-ranking officers who stood by, supervised the doctors, and made sure that Martin Luther King died on their watch. Particulars and details outlined by Thaddeus Matthews on radio station PLX in Memphis. You can go to the website, thaddeusmatthews.com. We're going to give full particulars about this, talk about the warfare state, the martial law state. You think this is new, brothers and sisters? 9/11 is but the little continuum of what has been the reality of ruling class power in this country over generations.
Ralph, let's go to the first excerpt, and meanwhile, call 212-209-2950.
Maya, can we have Ralph do a quick update about Lynn before we start the excerpt?
Sure.
I would just like to be very quickly and allow you to start the excerpt talking about Lynn, as she said, from her prison cell and other people in their prison cells. You are getting a window to the world from our cells, all of our cells, by the blackout of the major media of stories. You will get the continuation of these stories, and there are more stories about why we lost the struggle when we came so close in the 60s. It was because of people working for the federal government. There will be more exposés as time goes by. So I will just stop for this minute, include the window to the world, your window to the world. Help to open that window by dialing 212-209-2950 to help yourself and all of those who have been excluded from the real world by the lack of media.
And now for the first excerpt.
What else did Dick Cheney say? He said on September 16, 2001, quote, "We have to work the dark side," Vice President Dick Cheney told NBC's Tim Russert 5 days after 9/11. Quote, "We've got to spend time in the shadows using sources and methods that are available to our intelligence agencies. It's going to be vital to us to use any means at our disposal," end quote. He said that on September 16th to the press. 1 day later, September 17th, President Bush signed a secret presidential executive order authorizing the CIA to create paramilitary teams to hunt, capture, detain, or kill designated terrorists almost anywhere in the world. The first targets, Afghanistan. And later, it moved. This interrogation program was based on the Phoenix program. CIA involved psychologists who had developed the Phoenix program. They brought them back. They also held discussions, it's now been revealed, with the intelligence services of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and of course the Mossad. Hand in hand, the CIA and the Mossad have worked throughout the world. They used outside contractors, particularly psychologists, as I mentioned, who were experienced in torture techniques. What are these techniques? Waterboarding, cages known as the dog box, so small you can't stand, hooding, cutting off sensory access, bombarding people with music, particularly heavy metal and rap music, sleep deprivation, isolation, no bed, so that you either have to sleep on chilly, very cold as it gets in Afghanistan, or extreme heat. And, of course, most of all, dehumanization. Systematic infliction of suffering with putrid water, rotten food, no access to showers. And that is where it begins. What does it mean here in the United States? January 22nd of this year, the ACLU, as it does each year, issued a State of Civil Liberties in America. And they pointed to the expanding executive power. And what does that mean, expanding executive power? That's an architecture of a dictatorship. They refer to, first, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which eliminated a cornerstone of our Constitution because it made the president judge and jury. What do they mean by that? They mean habeas corpus, that is, the right to challenge the state as to why you are being held. And it has been accepted, it's been part of due process of law for citizens and non-citizens throughout the history of the United States. And that was taken away for non-citizens. That is an incredible step. This is a right of common law and due process that has existed for hundreds and hundreds of years, not just in the United States, but as part of British common law. It also gave the president the sole power to determine who should be held indefinitely without being charged with a crime and what constitutes torture. Gave the president the authority to declare a person an enemy combatant held indefinitely here in the United States. Think about what that means, so-called democracy. They also pointed to the National Security Administration and domestic surveillance, what many have now called their surveillance state. For 5 years, the National Security Administration conducted illegal, widespread electronic surveillance. It's still going on, we know. Tapping phones, reading email messages without warrant, and no Congress has ever said this is legal. And yet, here we have the National Security Administration, widespread electronic surveillance. Government powers have been expanded to cover more data collection. This is the surveillance society, whether it's Matrix or TIPS that Admiral Poindexter had tried to institute. That means gathering up. They can do this without our knowledge. Gather up business records, health records, the so-called patient protection, the HIPAA, you sign every time you go to the doctor. Doctor doesn't show you the fine print. The fine print says for the HIPAA, the so-called Privacy Act, that if any federal, state, or local government authority wants access to your health records, they have immediate access without your knowing. But it goes on. For your banking records, we now all know that AT&T, Verizon, all the major companies, without even being forced to, without subpoena, gave telephone records, millions and millions of telephone records to the government. And then, of course, the major, major piece of legislation, the Patriot Act, is pointed to by the ACLU. When you think about what happened with the Patriot Act, there was only one vote in the Senate against it, Russ Feingold. And in the House, it was 357 to 66 for its passage. There have been 215 executive orders, many of them secret. Sneak and peek warrants, which delve into health care, as I said before, and financial records. The opening of postal mail without warrant. The FBI and Pentagon files that are kept on activists and are shared now by police agencies and the military. Informants placed within organizations, which is a longstanding policy, of course, of the United States. And the expansion of this, that it's not just with anti-war groups, but it's been exposed that informants have been placed within Greenpeace and PETA, people for the ethical treatment of animals. There is an expansion with the Animal Enterprise Act. If you say something against an animal enterprise that affects its economic well-being, that is considered an act of terror. So next time you say something about McDonald's, you are possibly a terrorist. Torture and abuse, the ACLU mentions. The government continues to claim that the president has the power and he can delegate it to designate anyone as an enemy combatant and to detain them indefinitely. And hundreds still remain at Guantanamo, although the U.S. admits 140 are innocent. And none of those people have been able to learn why they were captured, tortured, and detained. There have been extensive, severe human rights abuses with extraordinary renditions and secret prisons, the CIA maintaining secret prisons abroad.
Again, the number to call, 212-209-2950. You've heard the first excerpt of 9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state. Is Martial Law on the Agenda? An event with Ralph Schoenman, Maya Schoen, and Frank Morales.
And in
Ralph,
fact,
yeah. Ralph, how? Take it over.
Ralph.
Up close and personal. I like to say, let freedom ring. Well, let the phones ring, because there's no freedom of the media unless you have media. We have media. We have an opportunity to support it. So those phones must ring. And when I go to see Lynn, when I hear her voice, I want to tell her the phones are ringing off the hook. People remember. People want information. People want knowledge. People, bring it to us now. Let those phones ring. I don't hear them. I don't know whether I'm off of the loop here. But if they're not ringing, make it happen.
Actually, brothers and sisters, the martial law that is on the agenda has been institutionalized as part of the series of executive orders. The fact that NORTHCOM, actually the Northern Command, is in charge of the affairs in cities, every city within 200 miles of the coastline of the United States, which Frank Morales details in some particularity in this premium that we are offering you today, the very means through which the military and the secret police, which is ubiquitous in our society, there's something like 17 such agencies, trillions of dollars are allocated to them, and they have black budgets that are not even on the books. It is a vast and continuing and massive apparatus of total repression in the United States. We reference, for example, the program for the the deliverance and the dissemination of trillions of bacilli, as the New York Times acknowledged, in 239 civilian sites across the United States, the subway systems of New York and the school systems of St. Louis and Minneapolis, the infestation of the Bay Area with trillions of bacilli, with a tenfold increase in spinal and brain meningitis, this by the Pentagon over a space of 40 years. This is not casual. This is not off the intended path. It is central to the operation of the capitalist state in crisis. The 9/11, the false flag operations create continuously the rationale for ever massive, ever increasing, ever all enveloping repression. And of course, as we were indicating earlier in this broadcast, what is exposed now has been part of our reality for many more decades than we care to acknowledge. And one of the most clear evidences of this is the hand of the military in the execution of Martin Luther King, in the assassination of Malcolm X, in this series of targetings of countless thousands of people who are no more than material witnesses to these acts of official murder. That's what this documentation in this premium affords you, not merely a window, but an avenue of documented material that you can cite, that you can reference, that you can internalize, that you can deploy as part of your understanding and part of your articulation of not only what oppresses us, but the tasks that remain before us. What do you think the Lynn Stewart case is about? A noted civil liberties lawyer defending a man falsely accused of a crime of a huge magnitude, namely the blowing up of all the noted landmarks around New York City, the Statue of Liberty, the George Washington Bridge, the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, the United Nations Building, a tissue of lies. And the evidence that Ralph Pointer's chief investigator established is that it was indeed the FBI and the Mossad who were orchestrating, organizing, and preparing this operation. That's what the martial law state is about. That's what 9/11 means. And that's what the persecution of Lynn Stewart symbolizes and embodies. That's why our struggle for her liberation is central to your support of this program.
Information is education. So let us go to school. And every time you listen to a program on BAI, you're going to school. But you know, when you go to school, you have to pay the tuition. Let us hear the tuition phones ring. Your willingness to pay tuition for this information that you will not get on any other program or any other media. And we will go into greater detail on both issues as the apparatus of the state is martial law. Is it coming? And one of the first things that Lynn Stewart said right after her arrest in a speech in California, when the question of is martial law coming, her answer was, martial law is here, and it has been here for a certain segment of our population. We know what that segment is. And she was in Harlem in the early years as a young woman fighting this oppression of the state against people of color. So we must put our hands in our pockets and pay for the tuition, because she is paying for her support of oppressed peoples in this country and around the world. Let freedom ring. Let the phones ring, please. 212-209-2950.
9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state is martial law on the agenda. And in fact, as Ralph is saying, the CD, the 2CD set, martial law apparatus that is already in place. And I want to refer once again to this Ninth Circuit decision, because in many cases, the government in a trial, as in Lynn Stewart's trial and in other trials, Jose Padilla and so forth, the government information, because it's secret, and the judge rules that, yes, that is secret information and can't come before in the trial. Yet, the trial proceeds. And in the case that of Binyamin Mohammed and others in their case against Jepson Data Plan, Inc., much of the information was public. And there was a whistleblower, the information. So there's extensive public information, which is the five justices in the minority opinion stated, that's enough to go to trial. Yet the majority of the court, of the Ninth Circuit appellate court, ruled that no, there cannot be any trial, because the government has the right to say that all the information, including the public information, is secret, that their entire apparatus would be jeopardized if there was any public hearing. Think about what this means. People are denied the right to confront their oppressors, the basic right, the basic foundation of any democracy. 212-209-2950. Please get on the phone. Support Taking Aim. Our very first program, Taking Aim program, back in December of 2001, was on this very subject of extraordinary rendition and torture. And here we are continuing with these subjects. Every week we bring you in great detail, whether it's on the financial apparatus, whether it's on the repressive apparatus, we are discussing this, and it's only here that you're going to hear it, and it's only with your support for your station, WBAI, that we can continue with this programming. 212-209-2950. This is our gift to you.
And Rob, remember, the secret evidence against Nasser Ahmed, over 3.5 years in jail under the most outrageous conditions here in New York City. Lynn Stewart, along with other lawyers, fought this case, and with a courageous judge, and you don't get much courageous judging in these days, decided to listen to the case, listen to the non-evidence. It became obvious that the secret evidence was nothing but lies and innuendo. And Nasser Ahmed is now on the street. But to date, as far as I know, he still doesn't have a green card, because the government is still playing footsie. We have to support the people who support justice, the people who support democracy, the people who support America as we wish to see it, that it has never been. So let us make those phones ring. Fine, thank you. Keep it going. I want to tell Lynn the phones rang off the hook because people care about secret evidence.
With a couple more phone calls, we'll move to the second excerpt. With the phones ringing, we'll go and we'll play more. Please get those phones ringing.
212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. Let's have the phones ringing off the hook. There are volunteers to take your calls. 9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state. 212-209-2950. Remember, those of you who have any of the premiums that are offered, this is a good opportunity to get one for your friends and your family and your colleagues. Spread the information far and wide. 212-209-2950. As time is passing, we'd like to play some more excerpts. So, Michael, let's take it away.
Not very long ago, namely August 20th, 2007, an article appeared in something called the Family Affairs Foundation called Conquering the Drawbacks of Democracy. It's by Philip Atkinson. He says, George W. Bush is the 43rd president of the United States, sworn in for a second term after being chosen by the majority of citizens to be president. Yet he is generally despised, with many citizens of Western civilization expressing contempt for his person, his policies, sentiments which now abound. This rage against President Bush is the inevitable result of the system of government known as democracy. The inadequacy of democracy, which is ruled by the majority, is undeniable. It demands adopting ideas because they are popular, rather than because they are necessary. This means any man chosen to act as an agent of the people is placed in an invidious position, because if he commits folly that is popular, he will be held responsible for the result, and if he refuses to commit folly, he will be detested by most citizens because he frustrates their demands. Now, this is a detailed article, but let's look at what he sets forth as necessary as opposed to popular. The wisest course would be to use nuclear weapons and slaughter Iraqis until they either have complied with our demands or until they are all dead. But if we do this with little risk or expense and no American army left exposed, the cowardly electorate might instantly end his term of office, if not his freedom or his life. The simple truth is that modern weapons now mean a nation must practice genocide or commit suicide. Israel provides the perfect example. If they do not raise Iran, the Iranians will fulfill their boast and lead a movement to remove Israel. And he states, President Bush so far has not been able to do what is necessary. He cannot use the nation's powerful weapons. By elevating popular fancy over truth, democracy is not clearly an enemy of truth, but of duty and justice. It is the worst form of government which President Bush must overcome, not just the situation in Iraq, but democratic government. Bush has a valuable historical example he can choose. Follow the ancient Roman general Julius Caesar, struggling to conquer ancient Gaul, and not only to defeat the Gauls, but defeat political enemies in Rome who would destroy him the moment his tenure as consul, and he puts in brackets president, would end. He pacified Gaul by mass slaughter, and then he used his successful army to crush all political opposition at home and establish him as permanent ruler of ancient Rome. And this brilliant action not only ended the personal threat to Caesar, but ended civil chaos threatening anarchy in ancient Rome as it does today in the United States. Bush must copy Julius Caesar and order his army to empty Iraq of Arabs and repopulate that country with Americans. And if he does this, he will receive achieve immediate results, popularity with his military, enrichment of America by conquering an Arabian Iraq. And he goes on. Philip Atkinson is not a marginal person. This family foundation, which is associated, as I mentioned, with the National Review, is also something that has been supported and sponsored by the Defense Policy Board. Let me run by you some of the members of that board. James R. Schlesinger, James Woolsey, Donald Rumsfeld. What are some of the affiliated groups? The Center for Security Policy, Hoover Institution, Project for the New American Century, Empower America, RAND Corporation, Gilead Science Pharmaceutical Company, General Instrument Corporation, G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company, Bechtel, Gulfstream Aerospace, Tribune Company, Metricom Inc., Sears Roebuck, So I submit to you that this articulation, that from the point of view of the ruling class, it is democratic entitlement and the potential involvement of the mass of our people in affecting and determining policy, which represents to them the immediate, the urgent, the inexorable challenge to the sustaining of their rule. Here is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Peter Pace, on October 4th, 2007, in his retirement ceremony. The World Socialist website describes it as following, in a statement remarkable for its blunt, explicit rejection of democracy. The outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, stated on Monday that opponents of the war in Iraq cannot be permitted to bring it to an end by voting. He made his comments before an audience including President George W. Bush, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, and over 300 high-ranking Pentagon and military officials as he swore in his successor as the president's top military advisor, Admiral Michael Mullen. I want everyone to understand, there is no dialogue about can we vote our way out of a war. The only dialogue that is permissible is how, where, and when, and best way in which to win that war. Now, this is a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff speaking before the President and the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Treasury and 300 high-ranking military officers and officials of the Pentagon. The anti-war population will not be allowed to use the ballot box to compel a change in policy. We will prevail. There is no doubt about that. So it is, to a very real extent, a measure of the decomposition and degeneration and criminalization of the ruling class in the United States that such things that would appear to be right out of cloud cuckoo land are, in fact, formally and with full determination set forth as policy. And I think that will illuminate for us the significance of Presidential Executive Order July 17th, which, with the stroke of a pen, has removed the right to dissent and to oppose the military agenda of the Pentagon in Iraq and that of U.S. imperialism at large. The executive order is entitled Blocking Property of Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Act Efforts in Iraq, providing the president with the authority to confiscate the assets of all persons who oppose the economic, military, and political policies of the United States in Iraq. I have issued an executive order blocking the property of persons determined to pose a significant risk of committing an act that has the purpose or effect of threatening the stability of Iraq, the government of Iraq, or of undermining our policies of economic reconstruction and political reform in Iraq. Under this executive order, opposing the war becomes an illegal act. It criminalizes the anti-war movement. It permits the executive to seize the property of any such individuals. That means that they are entitled to seize our bank accounts, our homes, our automobiles, the clothes on our back. And the executive order, and this is not Phil Atkinson ruminating in the American Family Foundation's publication. This is the executive order issued in true formality and particularity. Any who aid those whose property has been so seized, you know, if your brother lends you $5, if your neighbor lets you use his car, they are subject to precise penal consequences outlined in the executive order.
Okay, let me get this out to you. You must call 212-209-2950 because I ran out of the studio to get this particular offer, because it is very important. And if we don't have this as a part of our knowledge, we are going to be in greater trouble than we are now. So dial in, get one for yourself. I want to make sure I have it so that I can show it to others. 212-209-2950, the imposition of the state.
Ralph, what we're looking at here, let's be clear about this, brothers and sisters. There is an executive order in force, renewed and sustained by Barack Obama, that states that if you undermine the political agenda in Iraq or in any other subject country, not only is your property subject to seizure, but, for example, if your cousin or your neighbor lends you clothes or taxi fare, they are subject to the same seizure. Anybody who aids someone so designated is subject to the same reprisal. Formalized, part of the law, stipulated as an executive order, brothers and sisters, not cloud cuckoo land, the daily reality, the structure of power imposed by the state, by the executive office, and sustained now by Barack Obama, please.
And
documented, established as it is, the citations at your beck and call. Call now, 212-209-2950, so you are in a position to discuss this with your friends and your neighbors and your comrades in arms and your workmates, who will be shocked out of their minds to be told that this is the legislative executive decree reality in the United States that we live in at this moment. And it waits but the decision of opportunity for those in power, when threatened by our resistance, when confronted by the next collapse, to impose this series of measures aimed at the very survivability of working people, of the mass of our population, of everybody within earshot of this station. Please.
And, Ralph, it goes even deeper. The executive order to which you're referring has a codicil that you are forbidden, your friends, your family, your business associates are forbidden to reveal that you have been attacked, that your records have been seized, they can come into your house and take your belongings, and you cannot say a word. It is illegal, according to this executive order, to be public about it. Imagine what this means. The Obama administration is saying you do not have the right to a trial if you're tortured, that they have the right to call anyone an enemy combatant, and also they are supporting the notion of you can be attacked by the government and you have, and you cannot even be public about it. And at this point, we should also mention that it is the appellate court, the Second Circuit, that attacked Lynn Stewart for speaking out and for affirming her own innocence. And they considered that as a further sign of her guilt, that she didn't show remorse. Imagine, she isn't guilty. She affirms she's not guilty. And if she speaks out about it, they include that as a further sign of her guilt and a demand for extended incarceration. This is the Obama administration. The Obama administration supported this. People, wake up. If you've been listening to Taking Aim year after year, this is the moment to get on the phone, 212-209-2950, and to have this CD set, not just for yourself, but to spread the word. Spread the word around the tri-state area of New York. Spread the word throughout the other states in this country. Spread the word internationally. We can change this. It's in our hands, and right now it's in your hands to get on the phone and dial 212-209-2950.
And remember, when the case of Lynn Stewart started, it was thrown out for vagueness. you can go into law and read further what happened there. And then it was reintroduced, and now it went from 28 months to 10 years. Is the state encroaching on the courts? It has encroached on the courts. And if you want proof, remember when the war on Iraq started, I was sitting in my home looking sad, and a neighbor came in and said, "Ralph, what's so sad? Why are you looking sad?" And I says, "This terrible war on the people of Iraq." And he says, "But gas will be cheap." And my response to him was, "I don't care what the corporations pay for gas, whether they get the oil free from the ground, it's going to be expensive for us. That is the nature of capitalism and imperialism. This is going to hurt us." Has it hurt us? Has the price of gasoline constantly gone up? Have oil companies broken their record quarter after quarter for making more money? They're stealing the oil. The army, they were getting it for 5 cents a gallon and charging the army $3 a gallon. Some price like that. Where do you learn that? Listening to BAI. Please. Education is not free. Freedom is not free. Make those phones ring. I want to tell Lynn they're off the hook. People are supporting this information. 212-209-2950.
Ralph, thanks. And you're right on target here, brothers and sisters, because it is a measure of the size and magnitude of the terror that is waged by this state, that over one-third of the population of Iraq is either dead, maimed, or disappeared. Do you know what the equivalent of that would be in the United States, as Cindy Sheehan declared in her speech before the 9/11 conference on Sunday? 100 million people, brothers and sisters. The daily reality of suffering Iraq, the murder of Iraq. What about the appointment of James Mattis as the officer, the commander in charge in Afghanistan by Barack Obama? Do you know who James Mattis is? Not just the Marine commander, not just the former head of NATO, but James Mattis, apart from his declarations that it gives him great joy to kill, that he takes individual and personal satisfaction in killing another person, and that every Iraqi mother's son is a target for his gun. This is the same James Mattis who presided over the destruction of Fallujah. And in Amsterdam, an epidemiological report established that the rate of radiation disease in Fallujah is double that of Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined, that there is 8 times the amount of leukemia, 14 times the amount of lung cancer, 9 times the amount of pancreatic cancer, an epidemic of thalidomide-like birth deformities, children born with an eye in the center of their head, with two heads, with no arms, with no legs, across Fallujah and indeed across Iraq. This is a crime on the order of Lidice, a crime on the order of the great Nazi massacres, brothers and sisters, the terrorist-in-chief, not the commander-in-chief, Barack Obama. The head of the Justice Department, Eric Holder, is the lawyer for Chiquita Banana, that financed the assassination and death squads, AUS, in Colombia while AUS was on the State Department's terror watch list. The head of the Justice Department, who wants Lynn Stewart in jail for 30 years, is terrorist-in-chief, who is indeed guilty for the crimes in Colombia and accessory after the fact. That is the reality of the martial law state. 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters, support us.
This is genocide for dollars, genocide for the rich, not for the people of America. And I often wondered, if the people of America understood imperialism, what it meant, would they vote to continue this imperialism? I would hope not. Let us vote, walk with our fingers. Go to the phones, 209-2950. Let us pay for the education we are getting. And let us understand that this is nothing new. This is what America has been for a long time. And as Lynn Stewart said, people have paid a mighty price to try to get America on the proper road, the road that it said it was going. And now she's paying the price. But let us all pay the price. Let us pay the price of this education. Call in 212-209-2950 and get this CD, get this information, and all of the packages that are expressed are being offered for knowledge and information on this program. Support those who support you. This program, this radio station supports us.
We don't have time to play the full excerpt from the Frank Morales piece, but we can play another 5-6 minutes of it, Michael, and then we'll come back for our last moment of asking you to call 212-209-2950. But I would like you to hear a bit of the Frank Morales' presentation.
As you listen to Frank Morales, who is the most extraordinary researcher and exponent of the realities of military rule, of military control, of the martial law state, keep those phones ringing as you listen, brothers and sisters.
We approach now the whole utilization of non-lethal weapons. Non-lethal weapons are brought to bear within the context of the suppression of dissent. Operation Garden Plot is a contingency plan for a civil disturbance planning. The suppression of dissent is ongoing, kind of a work in progress. It is brought into play during the Rodney King uprising as a result of the unjust verdict during the period in L.A., various documents from the Los Angeles Police Department and Sheriff's Department point to the instigation, the mechanism of military involvement in the suppression of what was happening there, and even in some cases the provoking of what was happening in L.A. There's a situation where various Los Angeles Police Department police officers stopped a car full of National Guards people who were driving around with a trunk load of dynamite. So there was a certain amount of provocateur action happening there as well. The provocative nature of the state in terms of its counterinsurgency operations, I think, is a whole separate discussion, but I think a lot of what we're seeing in Iraq and other places has to do with provoking, creating situations, terrorist situations, if you will, which necessitate the further involvement of military forces. This was happening in Los Angeles, and people weren't necessarily burning down their own communities. In any case, the Council on Foreign Relations, when we move into the mid-90s, called for, in a series of white papers, for the Pentagon to increase its study and research and development on non-lethal weapons, suggesting that what was required on the part of the military, who was now involving itself more and more with so-called operations other than war, which is a doctrinal concept which allows the military to engage the enemy, which is protest, operations other than war, namely civil disturbance planning, and the utilization of non-lethal weapons within that context becomes a requirement from the point of view of the Council on Foreign Relations white papers in 1995, which advocated that there needed to be an approach that the military could use vis-a-vis protest and non-combatants that would be somewhere between, as they put it, diplomatic table thumping and outright annihilation. So they needed something in the middle. So non-lethal weapons fit that bill. So hence there's been a boom in the, you know, R&D of so-called non-lethal weapons. I mean, if you can weaponize a tube of toothpaste, they're coming up with it. Remember, seriously, these weapons are targeting us. They're meant, they're designed to go up against non-combatants and civilians, these non-lethal weapons, within a context of protest, dissent, and rebellion on the street. Interestingly enough, in terms of 9/11, the person who headed up the task force, the non-lethal task force for the Council on Foreign Relations in 1995, was one Montague Winfield. Montague Winfield, as some of you 9/11 truthers know, is the point man at the National Military Command Center the morning of 9/11, who decides to go to the bathroom about 8:30. Remember that? And is sort of a no-show and puts a rookie in charge to take the heat. Montague Winfield, Council on Foreign Relations, non-lethal task force, CFR, later winds up as a key person at the National Military Command Center. So CFR is in the house on 9/11, at least right there. I know people talk about CFR in these abstract, kind of grandiose ways, but this is a concrete example, you know, boom. He's the man who's absent that morning. One other aspect of civil disturbance planning which bears mentioning is the creation back in the mid-80s, domestic operations of the military, the militarization of the police, suppression of dissent. Civil disturbance.
Okay, folks, this information should create action, not fear. Yes, there is something to fear. Our government is something to fear, but we can counter that fear with reaction. Take your finger. Go to your phone, 212-209-2950, where we can combat this now with a phone call. There will come a time when the phone call will be too late. Take advantage of this moment. 212-209-2950. Get this information.
This information, Ralph, is not abstract. Frank goes into detail of how these plans are utilized in the anti-war and other demonstrations that have taken place in New York and other cities, where the demonstrators are segmented, where confined areas are roped up for dissent, etc. Also, these non-lethal weapons are lethal, as people have found out with the use of stun guns and tasers and other police weapons. They're called non-lethal, but they are devastating.
They are heat rays. They are weapons that alter the DNA, brothers and sisters. They are weapons that affect the neurological structure of the brain. They are weapons that heat up the cell structure beneath the skin. They call them non-lethal. They are fiendish and fatal. They are the arsenal of an apparatus of repression, a martial law state that deploys 9/11 and its pretext, because the authors of 9/11 are the perpetrators of these crimes. That is the documentation, Frank's meticulous, low-key setting out of this reality is breathtaking. You need to have this as part of your intellectual arsenal, brothers and sisters. Please, this 2-CD set for $75 is a way for you to sustain the truth, to prepare for the resistance we need to mobilize, have no doubt about it, brothers and sisters, every citizen of this country is on the line. The masses of our people are the target of this arsenal. The working population at the point of production is the target of this arsenal. The hungry and the oppressed and the exploited of the world are the permanent target of this obstacle. This is a system in terminal decay, and this is a criminalized ruling class. 9/11 and the repressive apparatus of the state, martial law on the agenda, is a 2-CD meticulous documentation of this reality.
And finally,
it's the powerhouse. But first, Ralph, before you speak, I want to mention that, as usual, your contribution is maximized for the Taking AIM premium. Ralph and I donate these premiums to WBAI. WBAI doesn't have to purchase them. We are a part of the station, and this is our donation for each and every one of you to maximize the funds that are going to go to WBAI. So keep that in mind. Make your contribution, as well as the fact that this is a powerhouse 2-CD set. Remember, you are maximizing your contribution to WBAI. 212-209-2950.
And finally, as Lynn Stewart says, help me. Help yourself. Get this information. Arm yourself with the truth. The truth shall be set you free. 212-209-2950. Ring those phones off the hook.
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes left, folks, and we have zero callers on the line. That will not get it done. We need to see another 10 people in this final 2 minutes pledging at that $75 level. We can do this. Remember, you're supporting WBAI. Remember that you're supporting Taking AIM. Ralph, you just talked about something that I never hear covered anywhere. And if people have been at these protests, they've used them in Canada, they're using sound weapons, they're using these weapons everywhere. Why don't we hear more about this in other media? Why don't we hear more about it here? Taking AIM is an important resource, folks. We're asking you to support that resource. It's an important show that will go where other people will not go. You want that information? Yes. You need that information? Yes. Make those phones ring. 212-209-2950. They're the first four of you. We need six more people. We have 2 minutes left in here. We can do this. Six more of you pledging. It is only $75 for this two-CD set. And again, your money goes further during this hour because Ralph and Maya donate this material to WBAI. Help us to keep this station going. Help us to keep this important program going. You know that you tune in. A woman just called into the phone room a moment ago, Ralph, and she said to me, she pledged, she asked for no premium. She said, I just pledged a moment ago on Hugh Hamilton's show, but I think this show is so important. I want to also pledge for this program, and I know that there are many, many listeners who feel that way. Okay, we've got two and four, no, I'm not Hugh Hamilton. We've got six callers on the line. That means four more people. Four more people. We have a minute left, folks. We can do that. 212-209-2950. Make those phone calls. Ralph, get us out of here.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much. And brothers and sisters, hear Tony's voice. Ring us off the air, brothers and sisters. Taking Aim will continue next week. WBI will continue, but only with your support. We need you to be part of the struggle. It is not a spectator sport. Please, join us. Participate with us. Lock arms with us. Move forward, brothers and sisters. Struggle. 212-209-2950. Lynn Stewart's freedom is at risk. Stand with her, brothers and sisters, as she has always stood with us.